Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So we're just obeying the Scriptures. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 as we today finish our series in the Ten Commands. Deuteronomy chapter 5. We've been doing a series here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 on the Ten Commands. This has been one of my shorter series. The last one that I did in Hebrews was about a year and a half long. This one's only been a few months, so we've plowed through. And this morning we are going to be looking at the command of verse 20 in chapter 5. And it simply says this: you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we come now to your word, we ask that you, Holy Spirit, will open our hearts and speak to us, convince us of the truth and the rightness of your word, and draw our hearts, Lord, that we might obey you, and glorify you, and love you. Lord, work in our hearts now as we submit ourselves to the authority of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me. There's a recent survey of Americans, and 66% of those surveyed said that it's not wrong to tell lies. Only 31% agreed with the statement, honesty is the best policy. So only a third of those, or not even a third of those surveyed, said that honesty is the best policy. Dr. Leonard Keeler, who was the inventor of the lie detector machine, has tested over 25,000 individuals, and he's come to this conclusion, that human beings are basically deceptive. No kidding. There was a young boy who was caught lying by his dad, and his dad said to him, "Now, son, you know that there's no liars, because they're going to be allowed into heaven." And so his son asked, "Well, Dad, have you ever told a lie?" His father said, "Yes, son, I have." "Has Mom ever told a lie?" He said, "Yes, son, Mom has lied." "Has Pastor Tom ever lied?" He said, "Yes, sir." The boy thought about it for a moment. He said, "Well, I guess then the only people that are going to be in heaven are God and George Washington. Mom and Dad aren't making it, neither is Pastor Tom." Well, how can we be honest in a dishonest world with our dishonest flesh? How can we tell the truth? As we read this word here, God tells us that false testimony, giving false testimony and lying, and false testimony is really just one manifestation of lying, it's an intention to mislead. It's an intention to be deceptive. You see, when we're telling just half a truth, we're really telling a whole lie. We can lie by falsifying, or we can lie by deception or concealing. We need to tell the truth completely. When we deliberately hold back half the truth, we're telling a partial truth and we're being deceptive. You also know that you can lie without words. You can lie by your silence. There was a teenage boy who was supposed to be home at midnight, but he came in at 2 a.m. that particular morning. Everyone else was asleep in bed. He crept up the stairs, and he thought he had made it. All of a sudden, one of the stairs creaked, and it woke his dad up. And his dad called out, "Is that you, Tommy?" "Yes, sir." "What time is it?" Before he could say a word, the cuckoo clock in the living room struck twice. "It was the most ingenious moment of my life when I stood there and cuckooed 10 more times." But it didn't work. Didn't quite sound like it. Dad was not fooled. Don't you hate those cuckoo clocks? As we look at this passage and the related passages in the Scriptures, the main point of what I want to say to us today is this, that as God's people, we are called to be truthful. We are to be truthful and not give false testimony nor lie. As God's people, we are to be truthful and not give false testimony nor lie. There's several scriptures that I want to read that reinforce this truth. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, it says this. Leviticus 19, verse 11. And then as I'm turning to that, Psalm 34, verses 12 through 13, and Proverbs is going to be read by Glenn Morrison, and then Proverbs 12, verses 17 and 22 by Eileen Rich. I want to read those in succession because they all make a particular point. But here's Leviticus 19. Do not steal, do not lie, and do not deceive one another. Do not lie, and do not deceive one another. Psalm 34, 12 through 13. Glenn, would you read that?
Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies.
Then Proverbs 12, verse 17 and verse 22.
He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. But the wicked shall be filled with evil. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, for those who deal truthfully are His delight.
There are innumerable verses in the Scripture that reinforce this statement, this main point, that God desires us to be truthful, and He abhors false testimony and lying. It's an abhorrence to Him. Well, why do we lie? Why do we testify falsely? In other words, which is a manifestation of lying, falsifying or testifying falsely. Why do we do it? Well, once we understand the motivation behind our lying or giving false testimony, then we can deal with the real issue. Lying and giving false testimony aren't in themselves really the problem, the real deep problem. No, they're symptoms of a deeper problem. And that is, it's our deceitful heart. The Scripture says it's our deceitful heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Perhaps it's a verse that you're familiar with. It says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can know it? Who can understand it? The heart of man is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can know it? Who can understand it? See, you and I, we can't even understand our own heart. Sometimes we don't understand why we do the things that we do. And God has to reveal it to us. And that's why we're here this morning. As we look into the searchlight of His Word, it begins to reflect, it begins to point out to us why we're doing the things that we're doing. And so it's an issue of the heart. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 12, verse 34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus is saying the real problem is not my mouth, it's my heart. It's what's coming out of me, out of my mouth. So these lies that might come out of us are really an indication of what's going on inside. And then later on in Matthew, chapter 15, verse 19, he says this, for out of man's heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, false testimony. Some translations translate it lying and slander. The heart of the issue when it comes to lying is that it's an issue of the heart. That's the problem. My heart. If I'm going to be a person of integrity, if I'm going to become an honest person, I have to deal not merely with my words and my lips. No, I have to deal with my heart and what motivates me to lie. Well, I find it helpful to look at our lies and categorize them and look at what motivates the different kind of lies that we might do. Now, you might think that's kind of odd, but I think what it's going to help us to do is look at what is truly motivating me, what's going on in here that would cause me to lie, to bear false testimony, to say things that aren't true. What's happening? In other words, why am I lying? You ever ask that question of yourself? Why am I lying? Why am I not telling the truth? St. Augustine said that there are 8 different kinds of lies. I'm listing 5. Mark Twain said there were 869 different kinds of lies. How he got that, I have no idea. Maybe he was just counting up all the lies he said and was putting them down. I don't know. But let's look at the primary motivations for those things that we might lie about and giving false testimony about. Let's talk about it. Number one, there is the cruel lie. In other words, this is the kind of lie that is intentionally malicious and destructive towards another person. You tell it to get revenge. You don't like somebody, or somebody has hurt you in some way, and so you're going to get even. Sometimes you talk to people and they say, oh, I'm going to get that person. They really hurt me. And so you misrepresent them. You make up some lie, or you testify falsely about a lie. Politicians do this all the time. They spend money on ads that put out cruel lies, and then they give testimony to it. We call it slander, but it's really false testimony. Slander means you make something up about someone that's not true, or someone else does it, and you agreed with it. You say it's true. You are falsely testifying to it. And you do this for the intentional purpose of damaging that person's reputation or character. The Jewish religious leaders did this to Jesus, did they not? They falsified charges against him. And they trumped up those charges so that they could hang him on the cross. The cruel lie is an intentional, malicious lie. Well, what's the motive behind the cruel lie? Jealousy, revenge, hurt, anger, hate, resentment. I think all of those are things that can be the motive behind it. Let's just summarize them all under resentment. Resentment. Someone has hurt me, and I resent it. I'm angry, I'm hurt, and I'm going to give a cruel lie in response to it. When I don't like you, I'm bitter against you, I'm angry, I'm hurt, or whatever it is, then it's very easy for me to offer a cruel lie or testify to something false to hurt you, to get back at you. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you dealing with any of these things? Anger, hurt, bitterness, resentment? Is this something that has got a hold of your heart? The Scripture says that we are to release that to the Lord. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander along with every kind of malice. Get rid of it. Christian, you have no right to hold on to anger, unforgiveness, or bitterness. You have no right to do it. Well, Pastor, he hurt my feeling. Just one of them. It doesn't matter. You don't have the right to hold on to unforgiveness. Scripture says you are to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Were you worthy of forgiveness? Am I worthy of forgiveness? No. But the Lord gave it to us for the asking. Now, there are many times people don't ask for our forgiveness. We are to give it to them anyway. Are they worthy of our forgiveness? Have they repented? Have they made right? No. Neither did we. But God forgave us anyway. Simply because He loves us. And we are to have the same forgiveness towards others. We cannot hold on to anger or hurt because otherwise we will end up being tempted to say the cruel lie. Number two, the cowardly lie. Not the cowardly lion, the cowardly lie. This is the kind of lie you tell to escape consequences. You want to avoid punishment. You want to avoid blame. You're trying to protect yourself. You're trying to prevent pain. My dog ate my homework. I folded my homework into a paper airplane and they got hijacked to Cuba. I told that to my dad once. He didn't buy it. Adam told this kind of lie in the Garden of Eden. The cowardly lie. When he sinned, he took it like a man and he blamed his wife. Cowardly. What's behind this kind of lie? Fear. Fear is the motivation behind the cowardly lie. The Bible says that the fear of man is a trap. When you fear man rather than fearing God, it's a trap. And let's just be honest. We are all, to some extent, people pleasers, aren't we not? We want people to like us. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be, you know, ostracized from others. We want to be part of it. We want to be part of the group and accepted. And so, to some extent, we're all man-pleasers, people-pleasers. You know, when a person has an overwhelming personality and you just kind of go along with them because of the way they are. You know, kids do that. There might be one person with a strong personality and they brag about smoking. You know, and they brag about taking drugs when they haven't done those things. And you're afraid, you know, that your friends won't think that you're cool if you admit that you haven't done those things. You haven't done those things, but you say you have. It's a cowardly lie. Sometimes we don't have the courage to say no. That's cowardly lie. Someone has asked you to do something and you say, oh, you know, I just can't. You know, the truth is you don't want to. Or, you know, the Scripture calls you not to do those things, but you just say, oh, I just can't. That's not true. You ought to speak the truth. Don't be a coward. Are you dealing with fear? Are you a people pleaser? Are you struggling with that? Jesus told us, don't fear man who can merely destroy the body and then nothing else, but fear God who can destroy both the body and soul. Fear God. In other words, we need to be courageous and speak the truth in love and not be cowardly. Number three, there's the conceited lie. This is when you lie to impress. You're trying to create an image or cover up some low self-esteem that you might have, and so you brag. Bragging and lying are first cousins. They go together. When you exaggerate and you prop yourself up, that's a conceited lie. What's the motive behind this kind of lie? Insecurity. We feel insecure about ourselves. You see, what comes off sometimes is bragging and pride and ego. When you pull away the layers, there's a very frightened, insecure person. You know, I don't think I'm good enough as I am, so I have to make myself look better. Studies have shown that 40% of people admit to doing this. And those are just the ones that admit it. I think we all do it to some extent. You know, you go fishing and you catch a fish and somehow the fish gets bigger every time you tell the story. We want to make ourselves look bigger, badder, better. You see, the root of it is insecurity. Are you dealing with this in your life? Are you dealing with insecurity that causes you to lie in a way of bragging? That's the conceited lie. Number four, the calculated lie. Perhaps this is the worst, because it really comes down to the falsely testifying. It's the kind of lie when we use to manipulate other people. We want to get our way. I think I need something, I want it, and I want to get it, and I want it now. And so I lie to get it. It could be motivated by greed or selfishness. This lie says, therefore, since I want this, I'm going to do whatever it takes, even if it means lying. Con artists use this all the time. You know? If you love money, you will use calculated lies to get it. And it's basically selfishness. I want what I want, so I'm going to lie to get it. Proverbs 14:5. A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. Pours out lies. Isn't that a picture there? Are you dealing with selfishness? Are you dealing with greed to the point where you've done the calculated lie? And then number five, there is the convenient lie. And this is the one I think we're all guilty of the most. The convenient lie is when we tell a lie because it takes effort to tell the truth. It takes energy, it takes time to tell the truth and be honest. Your kids ever ask you to explain something and you just don't want to take the time, so you don't want to get involved and you just say something. It's not the truth, it's convenient. Well, I just don't have the time for that right now. Why? Because it takes time and effort to explain and sometimes we're just lazy. We don't want to deal with it. Or your parents ask you if you did your assignment. Or your employer asks you if you finished your project. And you lie and you say, oh, I didn't have time. Yes, you did. You had time. You chose to use your time for other things. And so we lie and say, I didn't have time. Or I forgot. Well, that's a famous one, isn't it? How many of you use that, like me? Come on now, you all lying. I forgot. That is so convenient. Guess what? It's not truth. And if it's not truth, it's what? It's a lie. I forgot. Well, you know what? Sometimes our brains do forget things. And there is a legitimate time when we do that. But there are a lot of times we just use that as an excuse. There can be other things that we get into that cause us to have convenient lies. You don't want to get involved with being a witness to an accident. So you tell the officer, I didn't see anything, when you really did. Or you don't bother to check the facts first and you tell something about someone that you really haven't checked up on, and it could be false gossip. But we just pass it on. You know, receiving stolen goods and passing it on is actually a worse crime than the stealing in the first place, because you know and you pass it on. We knowingly do it. People give, it's true with gossip, people give false info and we pass it on. God says don't do that. Don't testify falsely to a lie. With a convenient lie, we just do it because we don't want to take the time and we're lazy. Or the second motivation with it is we don't want to offend someone. It's a whole lot more convenient to just blow it off because we don't want to offend someone or upset them, hurt their feelings. This is often called diplomacy. It's the kind of lie that you often tell in social situations or in relationships. Might say, you know, someone might give a speech in class, perhaps, and they did a horrible job. And they come to you and they say, oh, well, how'd I do? And you're like, fine. Or maybe it's a job performance, and you know, you have a strong personality employee, and they come in and they want the evaluation. They say, well, how am I doing, boss? And you don't want to have a confrontation. This is a strong personality. So you say, instead of pointing out the truth and areas that they need to improve on, you say, fine. And us husbands do this all the time. Your wife asks you, well, how do I look? What do we say? Fine. Be careful, huh? I've moved from preaching to meddling. Joe tells me that all the time. Has someone ever asked you to go somewhere and you really didn't want to go? They really wanted you to go, but you don't want to, so end up and you say, well, okay, I'll go. But you have no intention of going. That's a lie. That's a convenient lie. Oh, we do it in hundreds and hundreds of different ways to do it. Are you dealing with the convenience of lies in a relationship? In a social setting, whatever setting it might be, are you struggling with that? See, when we lie, we think we're doing the right thing at the time. But the Bible calls us, in Ephesians 4:25, it says, therefore, we must each put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Especially amongst the body of Christ, we are called to be truthful, putting off falsehood. You see, Jesus said that what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So the heart of the issue is that it's an issue of the heart. So what's the solution? The only way to stop lying, if you want to be a person of integrity, is to have your heart transformed. And Jesus is the great heart transformer. He says, let me fill your heart with love instead of selfishness. Let me fill your life with joy and peace instead of hate and bitterness. Let me fill you with a sense of security in me instead of insecurity. And let me fill you with energy and power of the Holy Spirit instead of laziness. Jesus said, I am the truth. You see, and the closer we get to Jesus, the more we're going to love the truth and the more we're going to speak the truth, no matter how difficult it is. Well, that's a great platitude, Pastor. How do we actually do it? How do we actually break the habit of lying? Well, the first place is this. The beginning of breaking dishonesty is the confession of it. If we want to become honest, then we have to confess, Lord, I'm not honest. It's the starting point. If I want to be a person of integrity, I've got to break this bad habit of either telling cruel lies or gossip, cowardly lies, conceited lies, bragging, whatever it is, falsely testifying. Lord, I want to break this habit in my life. Here's how you do it. You say, God, I'm a liar. How many lies does it take to make you a liar? That's why we're all liars. We've all lied. And you see, what happens is we excuse ourselves. You know, we make an excuse or we justify it. And we become liars. And God wants to cure us of this. He wants us to be truthful. And so we say, God, I'm a liar. And I admit that at times I don't always tell the truth. Sometimes I tell half-truths. Lord, forgive me. And then I have to make a commitment to tell the truth no matter what. I've got to make a commitment to tell the truth no matter what. That's hard, isn't it? But if you don't make that commitment, nothing will change. It's only when we come to that point of saying, Lord, I recognize what I'm doing. I turn away from it. I'm asking you to help me. I want to tell the truth, and I'm committing myself to do it. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to become perfect overnight. But little by little, Jesus is going to transform your heart as you allow Him to change you. The power of the Holy Spirit will change you and put a new heart in you. He's going to begin to replace the deception with truth as you let Christ's Spirit control you. We have a choice to make, and we have to say, God, I want you to help me. In other words, I'm saying I'm more interested in my true character than in my reputation. What do I mean? Reputation is what other people think of me. Right? We all put it out there. We all have this image that we want to project. We want other people to think of us. Character is what you really are. Character is what you are when you are alone and no one's looking. It's what you are in the dark. Reputation is that which impresses other people. Character is seen by God, and it lasts for eternity. And so we have to say, God, I'm more interested in my character than in my reputation. You ask God for help, and He will put a new heart inside of you. And some of you, I would ask and encourage you to get some help. Get some accountability. Ask someone that you trust and respect to hold you accountable. Well, here's some additional practical steps on how to tell the truth. You make this commitment to speak truthfully, no matter what, and here's some steps. Matthew 5:37. Jesus said, simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. You would think that was simple, isn't it? But it is so hard sometimes. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. He says, more than this, any more than this, comes from the evil one. And so there are four things that we need to understand about telling the truth. Tell the truth completely, tell the truth consistently, tell the truth lovingly, and tell the truth gracefully. Let's talk about it just for a few minutes as we wind up today. Number one, tell the truth completely, not just part of the truth. Tell it completely. Even if it will hurt you, your reputation, or someone else. Now, I'm not saying tell it in a hurtful way. But there are times when telling the truth is going to hurt you, your reputation, and it might hurt others. I'll give you an example. I told you last week about or it might have been a week or two ago, about the fellow named Joe at the hospital that I worked at. And almost every night when he left, he would go into the freezer and he would stuff big steaks down his shirt and then button it up. And he would walk out with all this meat wrapped around him. And he said to me at one point, he said, now, you know, Tom, I don't want you to, I don't want you to tell anybody about this. And, you know, I was a young Christian and struggling to walk with the Lord. And I said, well, Joe, you know, look, man, I like you and everything, but please don't ask me to lie for you. You know, if someone comes to me and asks me, you know, is Joe doing this? I'm not going to lie. You see, that would, number one, hurt his reputation because it's the truth. It would also hurt me because everybody would look at me as, you know, the bad guy. But you know what? I've got to be more concerned about what God thinks of me and what is true than worried about what other people think of me. And guess what? If you begin to be a person of truth, of integrity, they're not going to come to you and ask, hey, would you lie for me? Would you speak, you know, falsely for me? They won't do that anymore because they know you won't do it. Proverbs 28:23. In the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. If you don't face issues honestly, people will know that you're not an honest person. And they would much rather, for the most part, much rather have you be honest with them. See, if you don't face an issue honestly in a relationship, the relationship will explode. It won't last. If you're not being honest about your feelings in your marriage, you will undermine your marriage. God says tell the truth completely. Give an example. Maybe you have an employee that's goofing off on the job, and you speak to them time and time again. You reprimand them, but they still don't change. You may have to tell them the truth and fire them and say, you know what? You're doing a bad job. You're costing us money. You're not being productive, and you may have to fire them. The truth will hurt them. They may not appreciate it right then, but in the long run, if you help them to understand they've got to change themselves, you're helping them to change in the long run. You see, in theory, we all agree that honesty is the best policy, right? But boy, it's hard to implement in our lives sometimes. We often make excuses. But God says in the end, people appreciate honesty. So tell the truth completely. Number two, tell the truth consistently, all the time. If you're going to be a person of integrity, you cannot tell the truth some of the time. You know, even 80 or 90%. It's like the little boy who cried wolf. You see, if you don't know whether the person's telling the truth or not, you won't be able to believe in them. You know, if someone we know is not telling the truth, in some areas you might begin to wonder, well, how do I know if this person's really being honest? Ephesians 4:15. It says, speaking the truth in love, we grow up into Him who is the head. But the emphasis for this verse is speaking, ongoing, consistent. I'm speaking the truth consistently. We have to be consistent. See, none of us have a good enough memory to be a good liar. Because you tell one person one thing, if you lie a little bit about there, and you go over and tell another person the same thing, and you forgot what you said to this person over here. Before you know it, you're lying to try and cover up your lies, and none of us are good enough to do that. Lying sabotages your success, and so you will begin to have people who will not believe you anymore. It damages your relationship. It damages your character. Don't do it. Tell the truth consistently. Every relationship is built on one thing. Trust. Trust. Truth-telling produces trust-building. Deception, lying, destroys trust. If you're a dishonest person, pretty soon you will have no relationships because people will not trust you. Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth consistently. Number three, tell the truth lovingly. As I said earlier, we are not to tell the truth in a hurtful way. In other words, to do it intentionally to hurt somebody. Again, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Don't use the truth as a club. Don't beat people over the head with the truth. Why? Well, people change easier and they change faster when you speak the truth in a spirit of love. We're commanded to do so. And also, people always perceive truth without love as an attack. The old saying, people don't care how much you know, until they know how much you care. You see, if I know that you love me and you're committed to me, I can hear the hard thing. You can tell me the truth in a loving way and I'll hear it. There have been times some of you have come to me and you said, Pastor, you know, when you said that to me, that really hurt. And we've had to talk about it, and sometimes I've been in the wrong and I've had to apologize. But if you come at me, you did this, and you know what happens when you press on somebody? Well, they're going to press back. When we don't speak the truth in love, we turn people off. It's like an attack. And it doesn't matter if it's the truth, because people resist it. They become defensive about it. They don't want to hear it. You have to speak the truth in love. How do I know if I'm speaking the truth in love? Here's a little test. Ask the question, why am I saying this? Why am I sharing this? Who am I trying to benefit from this? Am I really trying to help them see this so that they can be better? Or am I trying to help me so that I feel better about it? You know, I've told them. I really gave them what for. You know, why are we doing it? Why are we saying the truth to them? If I'm doing it for their benefit, then that is speaking the truth in love. Because love covers a multitude of sins, the Scripture says. Amen? Love covers, rather than uncovering for the purpose of hurting. And let me just take a moment and say, I am certainly not without fault in this area. And if I have said something to you harshly, without love, then I apologize. Please ask, accept my forgiveness. And there's been times when I've had to do that personally with some of you, and I mean it. I want to speak the truth in love, and I hope we all will practice speaking the truth in love. Number 4, tell the truth gracefully. Gracefully. In other words, full of grace. Whenever you have the need to share a truth, even if it's tough, in a tough situation, don't beat around the bush, first of all. You know, don't get together with somebody and beat around the bush, and, you know, they're wondering why you're there and what you're doing. Just, you gotta deal with it. Go to the issue. But do it gracefully. Full of grace. What do I mean? Grace is, I want God's best for you, not just for me. Grace is that I want to restore, I want to build up, and not tear down. I'm doing this because I want to help. I want to build up and not tear down. Ephesians 4:28. Nancy Davis is going to read that for us.
He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need.
I think it's verse 20, is it 29 then? 29, I'm sorry.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Are we speaking the truth in love to benefit the other person? If not, we might want to keep quiet. We might want to keep silent until we get our heart right, have the right attitude, and in love. See, the truth sets us free, but we've got to speak the truth completely, consistently, lovingly, and gracefully. We have an option with our words, with the truth. You can either help people, build them up, or you can destroy them. You can tear them down. Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. We have to be wise in speaking the truth and doing it in love. So we have to examine ourselves as I wrap up here. We have to examine ourselves. Why are we not speaking truthfully? Why are we lying? Why are we testifying falsely? You know, I thought about, well, we could talk about going into the court case and when you have to testify, but really, how many of us really deal with that? Not many. Most of it is right here where the rubber meets the road in our lives every day, day in, day out. Now, you may have to go and testify in an official court case. You need to speak the truth there as well. But I think God wants to speak to us today about being honest and truthful in our daily lives. Amen? In every part of our life, not just the church part over here and our other life over here. We have one life in Christ. If you'll do these 4 things, if you'll commit to speak the truth, God says you will begin to be an honest person. Speaking the truth lovingly, gracefully, completely, and consistently. Let's pray together. Father, as we are here before your word, many of us have to confess that at times we have not told the truth. Sometimes we tell half-truths. And Lord, what it really boils down to is that we are liars. You call us, Lord, not to do this. And today, Lord, we are committing ourselves in a new way, a fresh way. We're making a commitment to you, Lord, that we're going to speak the truth. We're going to be honest all the time, no matter what. Lord, we need your help. We need you to overcome our flesh. We need you to continue to transform our heart so that we can be truthful people. Lord, would you please work with us? Would you please transform our hearts? Lord, help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to do it in a way where we're building up and not tearing down. Lord, may we have a right account of ourselves as we approach others. Lord, may we be known by all those around us as people who speak the truth. And we glorify you in so doing. We give you praise for this, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your attention to the Word. Thank you for your patience. Let's stand as we are dismissed this morning. Before we pray and are dismissed, any of you who have a need for prayer for any reason, we'd be more than glad to pray with you. Some of our elders and deaconesses will be here at the front. If you have a prayer need you want to be prayed for, then we'd love to join hands with you and pray for your need. Let's receive the benediction. And now may the God who is all truth, and the Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the Holy Spirit who said, I am the Spirit of truth, may He walk with us all, and may we walk closely with You this week, Lord Jesus. We pray in Your precious name. Amen. Amen. Take time to greet each other before you leave.